Basically, I think goal setting is kind of screwed up. I'm not a big fan of traditional ways of goal setting. Now, here's the reason why. Most people confuse a means goal and an end goal. So we confuse these things. Let me give you an example, right? I used to actually teach a class for the Silva method. So I was teaching that class in New York, and this lady came up to me and she said, "Hey, how can I use this method to make myself a faster typist?" I said, "Why do you want to be a faster typist?" And she goes, "Well, I want to be a faster typist because that way I can process more punch cards." And I said, "Why do you want to process more punch cards?" She says, "Well, if I process more punch cards, I get paid more." And I said, "Why do you want to get paid more?" She says, "Because I'm trying to save some money." I said, "Why do you want to save some money?" She says, "Because my mom lives in Detroit, I live in New York, and I want to move over to New York." I go, "Why do you want to have your mom move with you?" She says, "Because Detroit's fairly unsafe. New York is awesome. We want to move and live in New York." And I go, "Why do you want to live with your mom?" She goes, "Well, we're the last two surviving members of our family. And our family goes all the way back to the Civil War. We're the last two surviving members. And we have this house that's filled with heirlooms and this rich history of over 150 years. And we want to build a shrine and a home to our family's legacy in New York so that when I have kids, they never forget where they came from." And I go, "That's what you want to do. Screw faster typing." But you see how we are trained to operate this way? This is why hacking is something that I love so much. I hack everything. I hack my body. That actually sounds really nasty. I just had a whole script for a new horror movie like enter my head. I hack education. I'm trying to hack my kids' education. And one of the things that I love to hack is education, because it is one of the means goals that don't make sense. Do we really need college degrees? We train our kids from the time they are born to study and to study not because for the love of learning, but so that they can pass standardized tests. That becomes their goal, pass the standardized test. And then this continues. Then you have to get a good GPA in college. Then you got to apply to grad school. Then you got to do well on your LSAT so you can become a lawyer. But why do people even want to have these careers in the first place? Often we have 18 and 19 year olds choosing means goals rather than ends goals. Do you know, for example, that 50% of female lawyers are clinically depressed? But why do people become lawyers? Because they see it on TV, they don't know better. They watch shows like Ally McBeal, like law school applications went up after LA Law and Ally McBeal. And so what happens is, you have all these people blindly following the herd like sheep. Now, why does this happen? Means goals. The goal in their head was a means to an end. But what happens if you get rid of the mean and you directly pursue the end? So what are the ends? What are the end goals? Well, of course, happiness is one, right? But happiness is a little bit too vague. What are truly the end goals that define us, that make us lead awesome lives, that will make us know that on the day we die, we did not waste it? Far too many people wake up every single morning in their 40s and wondering, how the hell did I get here? Because they would choose to pick a career before they could legally buy a beer. So the thing is, there are three things that if you answer, and we're going to do this exercise, and I'm going to teach you the exercise so that you can teach it to your kids, to your family, to your employees. If you answer these three questions, it sets you on the path to end goals. Now, the first one is, what experiences do I want in my life? The second is, how do I want to grow? And the third is, how do I want to contribute to the world? Experiences, growth, contribution. Why did I pick these three? Well, I pick experiences because I believe that we are souls having a physical experience. As C.S. Lewis said, right? You do not have a soul. You are a soul. What you have is a body. But if you buy into that model of reality, why are we here in the first place? I believe it's for the human experience. It's to fall in love. It's to travel. It's to be mesmerized at the sheer beauty of planet Earth. It's to have kids. It's to raise them. It's to pay huge bills to send them off to colleges, which don't make any sense in the first place. It's the human experience, and it's beautiful. So that's why we put experiences there. Now, experiences could also be the experience of driving a luxury car, living in a beautiful home, dining in 5-star restaurants. Those are beautiful experiences, which you can put as your goals as well. Now, why growth? It's because Tony Robbins gave a remarkable TED Talk, and he said, there are two great spiritual needs. If you do not fulfill these two needs, your psyche, your soul feels deprived. And you may be happy, but you will not be fulfilled. And those two were growth and contribution. Growth meaning the desire to grow. While we are here to have experiences, we're also here to grow, to learn, to remind ourselves, to be reminded of our own greatness, to pick up new skills, to challenge our brain. That's also such a wonderful thing about being human. And the final one is to contribute. I believe we're all connected. That's the model that I choose for the world. There is a theory called the Gaia hypothesis by James Lovelock that says that the entire planet Earth is one giant organism and we are all connected. Not just you and me and everyone else in this room, but us and nature and the oceans and the atmosphere and the seas, we are all connected. I like that. It is a hypothesis. No one can actually prove that it's true, but it's a beautiful model of living because when you start thinking of that as a model, the petty dumb things like wars or religion just don't make sense anymore, and you're able to build a better planet Earth. My daughter's middle name is Gaia, after the Gaia hypothesis. Her name is Eve Gaia Lakiani, because I really like that whole model of living. So, contribution then becomes paramount, because if we are all connected, then one of the surest ways to elevate happiness and have meaning is to contribute to fellow human beings. Did you guys notice how emotional it was when Terry made you do that exercise and you gab away something that meant something to you? Studies show that when you give, when you contribute, levels of happiness go up. People who volunteer tend to be happier. People who do good work for the world tend to be happier. It's just a wonderful way of making yourself happy. So these three questions become a framework that I use to understand people, that to understand what really makes that human being in front of me tick. We take it to a really nice level at Mind Valley. If you were to come to Mind Valley, you'll see a giant board called a dream board, and everyone has listed their experiences, their growth, and their contribution on that board. All our employees go through this exercise. But the cool thing is, everyone writes down their list, then they photocopy it, they keep the photocopy. The real authentic list in their handwriting is stuck on that dream board, along with their favorite picture of themselves. But here's the beauty, it's all public. Everyone can come and see what everyone else aspires to be at Mind Valley. I call it the blueprint to the soul. If I'm having a lunch with an employee, I want them to bring this, because when you're looking at this, you know exactly what makes them tick, the experiences they want, how they want to contribute, how they want to grow. And it just becomes such an amazing way of connecting with people. I like to do this with my closest friends. This is really kind of an advanced form of bucket list, but in three clear, neat buckets. I strongly advise you to take this exercise that I'm teaching you right now and take it home. This is open source. Bring it to your families, your schools. I met a couple of people over here who are doing it in their schools. A lot of companies now are doing this with their employees. I encourage you to take whatever you see here and apply it. Okay? So, here's how you do that. Here's how you answer the three most important questions. You simply ask yourself, what would life look like if you lived in flow? So, the universe had your back. You kind of felt lucky. You know that when you set a goal, odds are it's going to happen and you don't have to worry about it. You have the right contacts. Pretend you can access contact with email or Facebook, anyone in the world who you need as a mentor or an advisor or a friend. You practice the right daily habits. That means you're disciplined. You know that your body is going to serve you well, your mind is going to serve you well because you serve them well. And I want you to keep these two things in mind. Okay, so firstly, pretend there are no limitations. You have the contacts. Even pretend that time and money are not a limitation, that you have access to all the money you want, access to all the time you want. I like to pretend that I can just speed up time so that if I set a goal, I know it can happen even faster than before. Another thing to remember is this quote by the blogger Tim Johnson. Realism is nothing more than a socially acceptable form of pessimism. The people with the most consistent track records of success don't think in terms of what is. They think in terms of what could be. So, when you're answering these three most important questions, you want to get your logical left brain to shut the hell up, because here's how we are trained to set goals, to be very, very, very practical about it, to look at your circumstances right now and then decide, okay, based on my circumstances right now and, you know, that check I know that I'm going to get and that contact that's going to come and the business with a predictable growth of about 20% a year, boom, 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 I should be there at that, so I'm going to set that as my goal. That doesn't work. What I want you to do is to pretend that magic can happen, that you can speed up time, that you can get access to the right contacts, that money will flow freely, that you are smarter, more intelligent, better looking, have more ambition, stamina, energy, and power than what you have right now. That's how I want you to step out of the realm of being realistic. I love this quote by Joe Vital. As you're writing down these goals, you want to do a quick little mental check. A good goal should scare you a little and excite you a lot. So ask yourself, does this goal scare me slightly? But does it excite you?
Oh, yeah.
It should scare you a little. You should, because if it isn't scaring you, you aren't dreaming big enough. And it should excite you. Because if it doesn't excite you, you've picked a means goal and not an end goal. Yep. I wasn't excited about getting a college degree as I was going through it. But I did it because I felt that was the way the world operated. And I wouldn't be able to get a good job if I did not have that degree. So you want to make sure that you pick a goal that truly excites you. I'm not saying college is unnecessary. What I'm saying is learning, education, should be something that is an end goal. That means you want to learn for the sake of learning, not for the sake of passing a standardized test, because that's the only path you can see. Okay, so the good goals must scare you a little. That's your check to know that you're dreaming bigger. And they should excite you. That's your check to know that you've picked a worthy end goal. All right, so now we're gonna start doing the exercise. You'll hear some mellow music in the background from our tribe member, Paul Hoffman, the Om Harmonics meditation sound. And you're all gonna take out a piece of paper and you're gonna make three columns in this paper. So, piece of paper, three columns. In the first column, you're going to write down experiences. In the second column, you're gonna write down growth. And in the third column, you're going to write down contribution. Now, there's a nice way how this flows, right? When you write down, after you list the experiences that you want to cultivate in life, the next question you want to ask yourself is, well, if I could have all these experiences, if I was the person flying business class on every single trip, dining and vacationing in the best resorts in the world, married to an amazing person, if I had all these experiences, who would I be? And that gives you the clue to answer the second column, growth. Because now you have to define all the ways you need to grow. If you want to live the life of a millionaire, you are probably going to have to grow your income. If you want to live in a foreign city or country, you might want to grow by learning a foreign language. This is where you list all the ways you want to grow. Now we come to the final question. So now you have your list of experiences. You have the ways you want to grow. Now you ask yourself, if I was so freaking blessed that I had all these beautiful, amazing experiences that I want in life, everything I want was coming to me, and if I have grown into this phenomenal person, how can I give back to the world? And that's how you come up with your list of ways you want to contribute. Everyone got it? Say yes, yes.
Yes, yes!
Thank you. So, let's get started, right? We're gonna start with experiences. Here are some examples of what you'd write down on experiences, right? What type of love experiences do you want to have? Who do you want to wake up to every morning? What type of friends do you want to have? What would your social circles look like? What type of money experiences do you want? Here we're talking fine dining, knowing that you have an amazing net worth. It's a beautiful thing to have as well. Where do you want to work from? An experience could be kids. Could be just being happy. Okay, so I'm gonna start a timer, and what you're gonna do is, I'm gonna give you 1 minute. In that 1 minute, write down as many experiences that you want in life. Now remember, this is an exercise that you do on your own, and you're gonna be doing this maybe on a plane. I have my list as three separate notes on my notes application on my iPhone, and every time I am on a plane or I'm traveling and I think of something that I truly want to experience, I just write it down. Okay, so you'll be growing this list. 1 minute is fine because I simply want you to get the hang of it, to understand how easy this is. And if you cannot come up with at least 10 items in 1 minute, okay, you're probably being too logical. So just let it flow. Don't question yourself. Are we ready? 1 minute, let's go. List down all the experiences you want in life. You have 5 seconds left. Write down the final item. Okay, put down your pens for a second. Now let's have some sharing. Would anyone like to share some of the items that they put up? Can I have some mic runners in the audience, please? Go ahead.
I just want to have one of the many things, vibrant gatherings at my home with friends and amazing people like those here at A-Fest.
I like that. Next.
Have the opportunity to have my children to travel around the world and learn from every single culture there is.
Wonderful. Someone else. And remember this, as you hear these things, you can go, uh-huh, I like that. I'm going to write that down. Remember, there's no monopoly on dreams. Next. Anyone, just raise your hand. Just stand up and scream it out loud. You don't even have to bother with the hand-raising thing. That's just a means. Bungee jumping, that's awesome. You.
Create a dream life for my parents.
Awesome. Someone else.
Yacht trips.
Next. Someone else. Say that again.
Language.
Learn a language. Inventing a language, like Tolkien did. Mind-blowing sex. Wonderful. Everyone, write that down. Next.
Sketch every city in the world.
A what?
Sketch every city in the world.
You must be an artist.
I like to relate to that and say visit every country in the world.
Visit every country in the world. Beautiful.
Go to every A-Fest in the future.
Yep. Everyone write that down. Tanya, please hand out credit card forms. No, I'm kidding. Okay, so let's go on to the second question. Ask yourself this, right? If I was the person who had all those beautiful experiences, all that money in the bank, the ability to travel to all the cities in the world, yacht trips, I could fly a freaking plane, I could invent my own language, how do I need to grow to get there? What are the things that I would need to pick up or learn? But remember, okay, choose learning not as a means goal. Choose learning because you know this is going to be something that you truly want to learn, that the learning is an end in itself. Now start writing down all the ways you want to grow. Here are some examples. Maybe you want to grow yourself spiritually by adopting an embodiment practice. Maybe you want to grow yourself intellectually. You might write down that you want to read at least 2 books every month. Perhaps it's not just reading books, but it's also fitness. You want to work out every single day. Perhaps it's adopting a daily meditation practice or a daily practice of creative visualization. So go ahead, write down all the ways in life you want to grow. And you have 1 minute. Put down your pencils. Come back with the group. Let's hear some ideas. Someone scream it out.
Learn to hack my own emotional state better.
Beautiful, Jeff. What else? Self-love, yes. The art of creative writing, beautiful. What else?
Wake everyone up.
Next.
Learn about permaculture,
beautiful. And again, if you hear stuff that sounds awesome, write it down. Now, we're gonna go to the final listing. Now, you know, another mistake people often make with goal setting is that they somehow feel that they need to cap it at a certain number. Here are the top 5 things I want. That's silly. I believe in asking for everything. So you can make this list literally go into multiple pieces of paper if that's what it takes. So now, let's assume you have all the experiences that you want and you've grown into this remarkable man or woman that you dream you could be. You are not who you are sitting on this chair right now. You are a you 3 years into the future who is having all these rich experiences, who has grown into all those things in all those ways you say you want to grow. You've learned permaculture. You've learned to flirt. You've developed a French accent. What would you like to do next? Did it work? Was that good? Okay. So I want to see how long I can take this. So now I want you to write down all the ways you want to contribute to the world. D'accord? Okay? You have 1 minute. A minute. Okay, put down your pens. So, let's hear some ideas. Say that again.
Adopt 100 girl child and take care of their education.
Beautiful. Adopt and pay for the education of 100 young women. Next.
Feed the world.
Feed the world. Speak louder. Scream it out.
Plant more trees.
Plant more trees. Next.
Speak my truth and let my voice be heard.
Live a life where you're speaking truth and letting your voice be heard.
Build a world full of happy people.
Build a world full of happy people.
Start a foundation, a charitable foundation against human trafficking.
Beautiful. One more.
Donate $1 million
a year. All of these are beautiful. Now keep in mind, some of these may feel a little bit vague. That's okay. I found that I'll start with something vague, like shift education, create better education. And then, as I know that that is a calling, that's something that feels good, the ideas and the stepping stones start coming. But it's okay to be vague, and I give you permission to be vague on those things. Now remember, all of these things connect to each other. So, basically, you start with experiences. Based on experiences, you ask, how do I have to grow to get those experiences? Once you have the experiences and growth, you ask yourself, if I have all of these, how do I want to give back? And it's a really cool way of making it work. Now, if you want to get this exercise, like an actual guided version of this exercise that you can listen to, so it's in the form of a meditation, you can download it from Om Vana, okay? And if you don't have an iPhone, that's totally fine, because tomorrow we are launching Om Vana for the web, which is like a Spotify version of Om Vana. So anyone, even if you don't have an iPhone, can now access this for Om Vana online. So it'll be a really, really cool service. So go ahead and keep this. I believe this will be probably the most important piece of paper you keep in your life. It is for me. Thank you.